Golden Hawks, it's your man Gabe with a new episode of Lay Down Laurier, where the chill vibes and entertainment collide. Yeah, I know. I'm really starting to rethink that catchphrase or motto, I guess. You guys should let me know about it. Maybe think about it and tell me about it next week, okay, you guys? Because this show will be getting an Instagram account. I know. We're finally going to be able to interact with you guys a little bit on this show, you know? You guys are going to be able to start requesting music, and hopefully I do a little bit more research into them, you know? You guys put me on some fire songs. And yeah, honestly, it's getting a little bit lonely in here too, you guys. This studio gets a little bit smaller every time I walk in here, you guys. I'm joking, guys. I'm not going insane. I promise you guys. But yeah, welcome back, you loyal listeners. And to all you new guys, howdy. Name's Gabe, and it's my job to entertain y'all before y'all start to snooze, man. But yeah, and I hope to do a good job of that tonight. I don't know if you guys have noticed. I'm sure I have, though. It's starting to get a little chiller, y'all. The wind's really starting to call my name, you know? I'm walking around, and all I'm hearing is, Gabe. Gabe! Scaring me, man. It's scaring me. And all the leaves are changing colors. Thank goodness. Because honestly, this September, I don't know. It started to feel like it wasn't going to end, you know? I was looking, starting to get a little worried, too, just because, I don't know. Autumn's like my favorite season. That's a little fun fact for you guys. So if you guys see a random guy walking around with a pumpkin on his head, it's your host. It's yours truly, you guys. But yeah, as we transition into the season, we're going to be rolling out some new type of music. And yeah, we're gonna start the weekly countdown to Halloween, you guys, because honestly, I don't know about y'all, it's starting to feel like the season of the witch. What a really great way to start down the countdown, I'd say, you guys. Donovan's cult classic, Season of the Witch, came out in 1966, and then it was later covered by Lana Del Rey for the film Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Believe it or not, you guys, that was the first ever horror movie that I ever got to see. I still remember being scared, you know, sitting outside of the theater, just because I really didn't want to watch the movie anymore, you know? Kind of wasted my grandmother's money that day, I'm not going to lie. Donovan is he has got a nice blend of folk rock, to be honest. You know, he's on par, in my opinion, with the likes of Bob Dylan and Joan Baez. But if you check out the other songs, or his other albums, or the songs on the other albums, you'll see that there's a lot of protest songs, a lot of songs, really good messages, you know. Overall, just a really great way to start off the Halloween season, you know, at least I'd say. Next up, we got a Lullaby by The Cure. That was Lullaby by The Cure. It came out in 1989, and it was another staple and major stepping stone in my personal music journey, if I'm being completely honest, you guys. They've been making consistent goth anthems for a long, long time now, honestly, and they're set to release sometime soon, but considering it's The Cure, that could be anywhere between the next 6 years, possibly? Still really important, especially recently, you know, ever since 2020, they've made a big, big comeback, but they've always been somewhat in the mainstream, you know? They were sampled by Rihanna, and it was actually my personal favorite song that they released. It was Let's Go to Bed. And obviously, it's like their most popular song. But I don't know. There's just something about it that just really hits different, you know? So we're going to keep up that little goth sound, okay, you guys? Next up, we got El Diablo by Fobia. Vete al Diablo. That was El Diablo by Fobia. Came out in 1991, you guys. And it's keeping up with that spooky goth vibe that I'm really going for so far. Don't you worry, guys, for any of you non-goth fans. It's going to change up later on. But we're going to keep going with that goth song or goth vibe, but I wanted to introduce a little bit of some Latin sound to it, you know? It's actually been Latino Heritage Month for like a long while now, since September 15th, if I'm correct. And it doesn't end until October 15th. And me being Latino, I think it's really important that you guys start listening to a little bit more Latin music, you know, just because I feel like the mainstream really boxes it down to what Latin music is or can be, especially because so much like variety in sound when it comes to Latin music, and not just like in genre terms, but like even within the genres themselves, you know, there's subgenres within subgenres, you know, and they all like grow and root in their own different ways, you know. But yeah, so I'm going to be playing more Latin music in the next upcoming events or the next upcoming shows. We're going to play some more goth music for you guys just for a little bit longer. I feel like goth music's really intrinsic to the whole Halloween feel. Next up, we have a personal favorite of mine. It is Arabian Nights by Suzy and the Banshees. That was Arabian Nights by Suzy and the Banshees. My personal goth, like in terms of goth, like as a genre, as a whole, they are the band, in my personal opinion. They don't have like a singular bad song whatsoever. Just consistent back-to-back hits. I didn't even discover them myself, I guess. I was kind of put on by a very special person to me. Just consistent back-to-back hits, especially with their song The Passenger, a great cover of Iggy Pop's song, you know? I feel like they made the song their own completely. And it's not, okay, well, I'm going to be playing it sometime soon, you guys. Don't worry, I'm not going to glaze the hell out of the song and not have you guys listen to it, but it's not going to be in tonight's track list, sadly. But yeah, no, perfect, perfection, okay? But yeah, next up, we have Time of the Season by The Zombies. We're going to get into a little going back to the whole 70s-esque, very classic rock vibe that we were having earlier. I'm sorry if I took that away from you guys, but yeah, don't you worry. Well, we got more to come. We got more to come, guys. It's the time of the season when love runs high. That was Time of the Season by The Zombies. That little gem came out in 1968 for all you old people listening out there. Honestly, it does feel like the time of the season. Like I said earlier, the weather's completely like done a whole 180. Okay, you guys? It's finally starting to feel like October. I'm just so happy about it, you guys. However, we better appreciate it, you guys. Winter? Right around the corner, guys. Just you guys wait for the GRT swamps of melted snow ground, okay? Like, the entire Ion is going to be smelling like musty boot, okay? It's not going to be too great. And imagine, for all you commuters out there, get ready for the blizzard commutes, okay? If there's one thing about Canada is that the winters get kind of crazy. Really? You know, they do get really crazy, though. You guys better appreciate it. And you know what? It's not going to be too bad as long as we got our weatherman, Liam. Hope you're listening, buddy. But yeah, he's going to be helping all you Laurier residents, you know, and commuters, making sure that, you know, you're prepared for the weather, you guys. And also like Christmas, guys. Christmas dinner, more specifically. Oh my God. I'm going to come back like at least like 5 pounds. Oh my God. I just can't wait, guys. I just can't wait. It's October, so we gotta lock in, okay? We gotta focus up on these midterms and before we get to Christmas break, we got actual exams that we gotta focus on. So yeah. Let's focus on the now. Next up we got Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult. Was Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult. It came out in 1976 and it appears in two really, really fire movies, both I'm pretty sure winning an Oscar of some sorts. I can't be too sure, you guys. One of them's a horror movie made that way, and the other one is a horror movie by my opinion. One of them is X, starring Mia Goth and Jenna Ortega, and the other one is Iron Claw, starring Zac Efron. Both really, really scary movies, I'd say. Maybe not too scary, but to some of you, or to most of you, but still technically horror movies, you guys. I really recommend that you beautiful listeners out there check those movies out, because you'll see how they're used in the movie, and honestly, they just match up with the actual vibe of the movies or the scenes that they're in so perfectly. Especially because, for example, like, I'm pretty sure they both take place in the 70s, so obviously they're going to be playing like 70s music. Just the way they're used in those movies is just really perfect. Next up, we got something a little more quiet for you guys, a little more relaxed, a little more toned down. It's I'm So Tired by Fugazi.
Barely see my breath surrounded.
That was Fugazi's I'm So Tired and Jimi Hendrix All Along the Watchtower back to back. Guys, don't you worry. That was completely purposeful and decided by me. I hope you guys got a little scared by that jolt of electric noise, you guys. I don't know. I was wondering how I was going to scare you guys at least once, and I hopefully got you guys. But yeah, no, we got two very different sounds. You know, we got Fugazi and we got Jimi Hendrix. But what's really interesting about them is that they both have an intrinsic, like, punk spirit to them, you know? I mean, Fugazi is literally a punk band, you know? But Jimi Hendrix, like, for example, the song we just played, All Along the Watchtower, you know, it's a cover of Bob Dylan's song All Along the Watchtower. And as you guys know, Bob Dylan, very, very big protest song or protest musician. I mean, to be fair, like, as his career went on, he kind of strived a bit further from that. And even then, some might say he isn't the greatest, the greatest, but he's personally one of my favorites, man. I've been really, 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 like, interested in the fact that covers specifically, just the way they come about, you know, just the way that musicians make each song their own. It's just really always been interesting to me. Like I said, I previously mentioned Susie and the Banshees and The Passenger and like Iggy Pop song The Passenger. I previously mentioned those, and I'm not, like I said earlier, I'm not going to be playing them tonight, but they will be getting played at some time. That's literally the best example of a cover done right, you know? She added her own music, she added her own vibe, and even, like, if you listen carefully, the way that the words are pronounced or the way the lyrics are pronounced are very much their own, you know? But yeah, going back to the whole Jimi Hendrix and Fugazi, they have both intrinsic punk values to them, you know? I mean, Jimi Hendrix playing Star Spangled Banner in at Woodstock, you know? And that's just insane to me. I had a conversation with the same special person who put me on to Susie and the Banshees, you know? We were having a conversation about, like, what a protest song sounds like, or what's, like, the first thing that comes to mind. And honestly, they said something that really... like, I hadn't thought about for some reason, and it was the Star Spangled Banner at Woodstock, you know? I was just like, wow, yeah, no, that's completely correct, you know? Especially given the time that it came out, the fact, like, what it meant to the people and what it meant for him to be playing that song, it was perfect. And, you know, Fugazi, it was definitely one of their more, like, artsy-fartsy songs. As you guys know, I do love my artsy-fartsy songs, but the fact of the matter is they are a punk band, you know? They came out around 1988, or they started making live appearances in 1988, and since the start, they were very much against, like, label companies and, like, all that corporate mumbo jumbo, you know? Their concerts were very cheap, very, very accessible to the people. And, you know, they've gotten some criticism that maybe it was kind of a poser way of doing it, very much like, oh, I'm so punk that I'm gonna charge only $50.50 for my tickets. Yeah, I'm so punk. Like, that was the allegations according to a bunch of people, but I don't know, man. Their sound's pretty good, and I've been really getting into them since the summertime, I think June. But Jimi Hendrix, another stepping stone in my musical journey, man. But yeah, next up, we're gonna play a little banger. Recently, actually, the entire reason I got into the radio, actually, or wanted to get into the radio, was because last week I went to a very special event, and I'm going to talk about it more after the song, just because we do got to get to it eventually. But yeah, it'll make more sense when I get to it, or when I actually start playing the song. But this is Psycho Killer by The Talking Heads.
Hi, I got a tape I want to play.
That was Psycho Killer by The Talking Heads, guys. Originally, it came out in 1977, and honestly, I've been knowing this song since any of you guys, and I don't care what you guys say. It had a big spur in TikTok, and that's why it's so popular, but trust me, guys, I was listening before you guys did, okay? I listened to it before you guys did. The reason that song is so important to me is because, again, it's another, I'd say, Halloween staple. It's a Halloween anthem, I'd say. If you guys have heard the original, because that's not the original, but if you have heard the original, you definitely agree with me that it's definitely a Halloween staple, guys. Honestly, it's a really good song. I'm a big fan of the lead singer. I forget his name, but the lead singer's way of acting on stage. I'm really big on stage presence guy. Like, I think it's really important to me that a musician can interact with the audience in a way that's very, personally, I'm a big fan of it when they're like very like sporadic or spiritual. Do you know what I mean? Like, another big band that I really, 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 really like, top five even, is The Doors. You know, Jim Morrison, you guys, I've played him before, and you guys have definitely heard him before, and you guys have heard the band before, but his onstage presence is just unbeatable. But back to the Talking Heads, guys. The reason I actually wanted to get into the radio was because, I want to say a week or two prior, the Princess Cinemas was holding a 50th anniversary event, and at that event, they played a really, really, really cool concert movie called Stop Making Sense, and it was by The Talking Heads. And I was with my friend there, and it was right after school. It was a really long day, and I was just kind of tired. And we went up to the Princess Cinemas in Uptown Waterloo, and we came across this giant crowd of people, and there was a screen, and it was playing amazing music. Yeah, everybody was dancing. Everybody was having a good time. There was a guy at the front. I don't want to say shaking or like seizing or anything, but he was definitely moving sporadically, and like nobody paid any mind to it. Well, I need to preface it by saying he didn't look like he was in any danger, by the way. No one was being a bystander. Everybody was being normal, but he was just walking about and enjoying the music and really grooving, and I was like, damn. Well, I mean, the movie is like called Stop Making Sense, so why would you, you know? But it's really beautiful, the impact the music has on people, the fact that we can all conglomerate or congregate over it and just like share an experience. It's just really beautiful. But yeah, and there was a bunch of people, there was people making like, I want to say a Temu version of a mosh pit, but I don't know, really strange music to be moshing to, you guys, but whatever, to each their own. I'm not going to tell them to stop. And there's a bunch of people like with their families just having a really good time. And I just thought to myself, Jesus, I think that this is the type of stuff that we need to be talking about. These are the type of events that like need to be known about, you know. And I'm going to try my best to let you guys know about any events going on throughout the city, and whether or not I'll be there. If you guys want to say hi to me, definitely. That's kind of the reason as to why I got into the radio. It's a big story, and I'll be giving you guys little bits and pieces here and there. But next up, we're gonna move on, just because that last song was a tiny bit longer than I thought it was gonna be. It's not the original version, you guys. It's the version from the concert movie. But next up, we got another song that's really been on repeat recently, on specifically this week, okay? Once you guys hear it, you'll understand why. This is Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division. That was Love Will Tear Us Apart by my personal current favorite band, Joy Division. Originally, they were named Warsaw, but there was a little conflict with another band called Warsaw. That song specifically came out in 1980, and it's just been really on repeat recently, for me at least. Their lead singer passed away a bit after they came out, or they started putting out music. And later on, the group would come together and rejoin, or I guess regroup, into what is known as New Order. They produce really good music too. Very new wave. I think after he died, after the lead singer died, they moved away from that whole goth vibe. They still maintain the synth vibe that they had, that very... Yeah, you guys can tell why I'm a radio host and not a singer, huh? They moved away from that because I listened to New Order. I'm going to play New Order sometime soon, probably next week, you guys. But it's just not the same, you know? Very spaced out music, very synthy, but just not... Synthy in a way that goes da, 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 da. Like his voice is just so specific to him. I'd say you could say that draw some parallels to Lou Reed's voice when he was in the Velvet Underground. And honestly, I'd consider Lou or the Velvet Underground's music to be very like hand in hand with Joy Division and Sonic Youth, as previously mentioned in the last week's episode. You guys have better listened to it. It's that artsy-fartsy sound that I really like. And I don't know. It's just had a hook on me recently. It is actually 11 p.m. So I'm going to go a little bit over my time here. And I'm going to play you guys a really soothing song to just say goodbye. The song appeared in this really, really great movie called The Graduate. I got reminded of it the other day. Or I think it was Monday, I'm pretty sure. The teacher, I'm in a film studies class, you guys. I'm a really big film nerd. But the teacher used the movie as an example in her lecture. And I was like, oh my God, I completely forgot about it. This song was on repeat 24/7, 465. I was walking around my school thinking I was all mysterious and stuff. The beginning, actually, interestingly enough, shares lyrics with another Bob Dylan song. That will be getting played closer to, I want to say spring, maybe winter. But, I mean, if you guys are listening to this one, might as well play it. But, yeah, it shares lyrics with a Bob Dylan song. But, yeah, I'm going to quit yapping. I'm going to get to the song so you guys can start schnoozing. It's 11:02, you guys. Jesus, what are you guys doing up so, so late? Thank you for tuning in. I don't know if any of you guys are new listeners or how many of you guys are new listeners and how many of you guys are old listeners, but if you stayed all the way through, really, like, I appreciate it so, so much. Second episode, I'd say went pretty well, you guys. Next week, there will be an Instagram account by next week. I'll let you guys know what it's called. Again, next week. Anyways, this is Scarborough Fair by Simon and Garfunkel. Good night, Laurier.